Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? It's good to be together and to see you all. And I want to say a special thanks to Larry for the announcements. You know, it's always encouraging to me to see brothers and sisters from other parts of the church literally around the world. And so thank you so much, Dan and Alexa, for not just taking us to the cross, but showing us an incredible example of just how God is working literally around the globe. I also want to thank our song leaders for leading us in worship, and Quadre and Rebecca.
I'm here.
Lead us in our help lead in the Edge ministry. And I don't know if he said it, but thank you so much, Jacob, who's a part of our teen ministry, for leading us in a prayer this morning. It is just so encouraging to see the body working together and to just see God doing what he does. It is truly, truly amazing. I'm gonna go back here for a minute so I can get my slides together. All right. So if you're visiting with us, again, thank you for coming and taking time to be a part of our service. You know, we are doing a study entitled God in Your Body. And we began and we talked about our bodies and how God views it, that we are to honor God with our bodies, that they were made by God, for God, and to honor God. And then we talked about the heart and the different challenges that are there, and how when God gets our heart, God gets us. Then we talked about the ears, and we talked about the tongue. And so today, we're going to talk about the eyes. And, you know, when you think about it, our eyes are incredibly powerful. I don't know if this has happened to you, but, you know, sometimes when I go to the store, like a Home Depot, I'm going to get two things. And I'm going in, I need this and I need that. But, you know, sometimes you're in there and you see things that you think, you know what, I may need that in the future. And so you go in with the intention to get two things, and then you actually come out with 10 things. Can you relate? Has that ever happened to you? Well, see, what passes through our eyes can cause us sometimes to get more than we want it. Sometimes, you know, you've heard the expressions, you know, your eyes are bigger than your stomach. And, you know, you thought, oh man, I'm going to get, you know, this meal. And then you get a lot more than you thought, than you anticipated. See, our eyes impact what we desire. You know, you can sometimes at night, you know, maybe you can't sleep, and then you get up and you're on the home shopping network, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden you need that thing that they're talking about. Not only is it useful, is it practical, man, they got a payment plan. And, you know, you convince yourself, hey, this, I need this, and it's only $9.99 a month. Hey, it works perfectly. And so commercials and advertising and all of these things around us can impact us making decisions that sometimes is not beneficial. In fact, some of that thinking and some of those choices has gotten us into some financial challenges. It's affected, you know, our marriages. It's affected our relationships. And, you know, what we see or what we pursue can literally affect our lives. What we gaze at has the power to determine the direction of our lives. And see, the temptation is to think, well, maybe for that person or maybe for that guy, but you know what? I can handle it. I'm an adult. That doesn't apply to me. Well, I pray this morning as we look at God's word and we look at what Jesus says, that we will take more seriously being careful what we watch, being careful with our eyes. And so let's have a prayer and then we'll continue with our service. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for allowing us to be together. I pray that you would allow your word to move our hearts, that we hear and see things from your perspective and hear what you want us to hear. We love you. We thank you. And we pray all of this in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we'll start here in verse 33. And so this is Jesus speaking. And he says, no one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. Let me say that again. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body is also full of light. But when they are bad, your body also is full of darkness. Verse 35, see to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light, and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted as when the light of a lamp shines on you. Now, when Jesus was speaking to his audience, they understood exactly what he was talking about. Now, you and I, we may not kind of relate to this as much because we live in a well-lit world. We got street lights, we got neon lights, we got lights on our phones, we got lights, you know, the little headlights runners wear. I mean, our world is lit up. But back in the first century, there was no street lights. There was no electricity. So when the sun would go down, it was very, very dark. And when you went into a home, it got even darker. And so that's why each home had a lamp. And that lamp was usually lit by oil. And so people would have those in their homes so that they could see. So Jesus began talking about this, and everybody understood and could relate what he was talking about. And see, he says, so everybody takes the lamp and he puts it on a stand. Why? Well, the higher the light, the brighter the light in the room. So he said, hey, you don't take the lamp and you put it under something, you put it on a stand so we can see what's going on. We can see what's in this room. We can know, be aware of what's in our surroundings. See, the light expels the darkness and reveals to you the environment that you are in. You don't hide light. But then look at what he says in verse 34. He gets personal. He says, your eye is the lamp of your body. Okay, Jesus, what are you talking about? Your eye is the lamp of your body. Okay, in other words, your eyes reveal to your body what is going on in your environment. The eye informs your body of what's being exposed around you. And then he goes and he says, when your eyes are good, or another translation is healthy or clear, he says it benefits your entire body. But then he says, but when they are bad, now this word bad, the Greek word is porneia. That's where we get our English word pornography from. He's saying, he's not talking about medically unhealthy eyes. He's saying, if your eyes are bad, you expose you, the, if you expose these eyes to corrupt things in this world, you're exposing your body to corrupt things in this world. He says, your body also is full of darkness. See, just like your physical eyes light up the rest of your body and reveal what's in the environment, in the same way, if the wrong things pass through these eyes, it can ultimately impact your body and your life. See, that's why the proverb writer says in Proverbs 4, he says, let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze before you, make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not sway to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. See, our eyes are the lamp, and they determine the direction that our body will go into. Now, look at what he says here in verse 35. He says, see to it. See, make sure, see to it, see to it. Make sure that what comes through those eyes are not darkness, not impurity, not evil, not unhealthy, but make sure that what you look at is going to be beneficial. I remember a few years ago, probably about 5 or 6 years ago, I found out about this website that you can look at to rate movies. And the reason I found out was because I watched this movie that really disturbed me. And, you know, the way they make films, you know, they want to get you and pull you right in. And then they'll show you images, and then they'll cut and then show you something afterwards. And then what's happening is you're left to figure out what happened in between. Well, anyway, I watched this movie and I saw images that led me to imaginations. And I tell you, it disturbed me for about 2 weeks. I mean, I was praying, God, take these thoughts out of my mind, take these images out of my mind, because it was so disturbing. And I saw things that really irked me. And I tell you, I learned a valuable lesson. Man, you better, first off, get that website and see what's in the movie before you watch it. But you got to watch what goes through these eyes, because it can lead you in places that you don't want to go. And that again, that imagery, and even again, our society is constantly bombarding us with, look at this, you need that, you need this. If you get this, then you'll get that. I mean, and we're constantly being bombarded because people have learned Hey, sometimes people are natures of creatures of habit. You know, I was talking to a friend who's in advertising. He says, Russ, I can tell what people are into, and then what they do is then they put these little ads that come into your internet because they see a pattern with you, and now they're just constantly enticing you because they want your eyes to get connected. They want your attention so they can draw you away and either have you buy something or become a customer. And it is so powerful. It is so powerful the way our world is and the way it works. You know, if you go back here to verse 35 in Luke chapter 11, listen to what Jesus says. He says, therefore, if your whole body is full of light, listen to this, and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted, as when the light of a lamp shines on you. You know, I want you to think about what Jesus is saying. He's giving you and I a vision. And he's telling you and I, wow, here's what your life could be. Here's what it could become. If you're full of light, man, you're going to see some awesome and good things happening. Isn't it inspiring when you see faith lived out or a dream become a reality? You know, this is Carla Murdoch and her boys, Angel and David, in this picture in these fatigues. I took that picture. I think they were like 11 or 12, and that's what they wanted to do for their birthday. And, you know, I've been a part of the family here since they moved to New Jersey and were part of the preteen and young teen ministry. And I came across this picture maybe a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, you know what, man, I want to use this, because I thought, wow, how fitting. I remember meeting Carla, single mom of six, and just being nothing but impressed. And the fact that she shot me in the face at this paintball, we had this paintball party, and I was behind this thing, and I turned out and bam, she hit me right between the eyes. I said, man, that girl is good. She can shoot. We just, you know, have had a great relationship and being a part of the boys' lives and then watching them grow up. And, you know, here is David and Samantha, who are now married, both the disciples, expecting their first child. It's just so inspiring. And then over here is Angel and Jordan. And now they have three children. They too are disciples, and God willing, they're going to be moving back here to Jersey. So I'm super excited about that. And then just 2 years ago, her daughter Tracy, who's older than twins, was restored to Christ. She's a disciple, mom, wife, two lovely children. It is beautiful to see faith lived out and a dream become reality. But see, that doesn't happen if you and I don't keep our eyes on the right things. We must remember something, that we fight against an invisible enemy. Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, if you're visiting with us today, I want to beg you to take time to see what God has to say in his word. Because our world wants to tell you that the devil doesn't even exist. That's some kind of myth. But I'm here to tell you, no, he is real. And boy, if somehow we could rip open that spiritual world and you could see what's actually going on as I'm speaking, as you're trying to pay attention, as this thing is happening over here, as that thing is happening over here, there is a spiritual battle going on. And it's only when you and I have the eyes of faith that we can realize, hey, here's what's really going on. That you and I can make wise choices with our eyes. No, another version of Luke 11, 35 and 36 in the NLT version, it says, make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. If you are filled with light with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant as though a floodlight were filling you with light. Man, that's how I want to live. You know, yeah, I want to have the light, but doggone it, turn the floodlight on. And it's just like, boom, you know, you're just radiating everywhere you go. This big, huge light. And you're saying, hey, God is alive. He is real. He's got a plan. He's awesome. But you know, in our world today, sometimes we don't like people telling us what to do. You know, hey, I'm grown. I'm an adult. You know, I hear, you know, I'm a grown man. You can't tell me this. You can't tell me that. In fact, I can handle it. I don't need anybody telling me what to watch, what I can't watch. And hey, listen, Jesus was right. And we're wrong most of the time with our thinking. And if there's somebody who I want to listen to, is someone who never sinned, yet was tempted in every way. Jesus, he says, hey, man, be wise. In fact, there's another scripture in Matthew 18 that Jesus, understanding the gravity of what we're facing in this life, he says, let me tell you how serious you need to take sin and what you look at. He says in verse 9, and if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. Now, first off, I am not advocating gouging out eyes or anything. But I thought, wow, the Son of God said something that seemed really radical. And I thought, why? Well, he had some very deep convictions. He was tempted in every single way that you and I are tempted. When you think, well, people don't understand. No. God understands. Jesus understood. And yet he didn't give in. And there's a reason. Because he understood darkness. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, we get affected by our surroundings. You know, our culture says things like, well, if you want to understand something, you need to go experience it. What? So I need to go experience immorality, impurity, adultery to appreciate my marriage? I need to go and experience things so that I can understand it, so I appreciate it? No way. Jesus's way was right because he saw the big picture. And again, unless we live by faith in him, we're not going to see the big picture. I want to show you another illustration in the Bible. Oops, I'm sorry. Went too fast. I want to show you another illustration. I'm going to read this story. Acts chapter 7. This blows my mind, and we're going to wrap this up. Acts chapter 7. This is Stephen, the first Christian martyr. This is a man who's young man. The Bible says he was full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Let's read this together. Acts 7, verse 54. When they heard this, and again, Stephen had been debating with the teachers of the law and the rulers and basically told them about themselves, and they got a bit peeved with him. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven, check it out, and saw the glory of God. Now, again, I don't know how this happened, but he saw the glory of God. A lot of times in the scriptures, when he talks about the glory of God, and it says that Jesus was sitting at the right hand of the Lord. Well, in this instant, Stephen saw, and Luke wrote this down, the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He says, look, I saw heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed. Listen to this. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Wow. Stephen was in a moment that, I mean, I don't want to be in that type of moment, but he was living out his conviction. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of faith. And in the midst of being persecuted for his faith, he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. This young man was willing to die for what he believed in. His faith cost him his life. And it wasn't just what I believe, it's what he said that ticked these people off and caused them to get so angry. And they were religious men and they killed him. See, if we could see what was beyond on the other side, just a minute, just an hour, just to see heaven open up and to understand, oh my goodness, that's what's on the other side. That's what's been prepared for me. That's what I have to look forward to. Oh my goodness. You see, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. Listen to this. They did not receive the things promised. Well, what did they do? They only saw them. They saw them with what? With their eyes. Their eyes of faith, and welcomed them from a distance. Here's what they thought. They admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. They were not trying to fit in. They were not trying to be like everybody else. People who say such things show that they are looking. See, they're looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would not have had opportunity to return. Instead, They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. You know, it was such a moving story to hear Dan and Alexa talk about our dear brother that passed on. And gosh, I tell you, it's just inspiring to see while in his death, he helped friends to see their need for God. Boy, that, I mean, how many times has that happened, you know, here in Jersey? And boy, there's so much faith, there's so much conviction. But again, what they were seeing, what they were looking forward to. Brothers and sisters, and again, guests, my friends, if you're visiting, God wants us to see him. God wants us to see him. Well, what do I do with what I heard today? Well, first off, let's recognize something. To honor God with our eyes, don't look at anything that will dishonor him. Now, you say, Russ, I'd have to leave the planet. Okay, stay with me. But whatever's going to dishonor him, don't do it. Don't do it. But instead, what do I need to look at? Well, look at his word. Look at his word. You know, 1 Timothy 4:7 says, train yourself to be godly. I am so thankful for the brothers and sisters in Christ who have helped me learn the word and how it applies to my life, how it applies to my marriage, how it applies to my parenting, to my finances, to my purity. The word is to be used, and that we are trained by it. I remember being in Bible studies, and I'd hear, you know, somebody bring up something and brother go, okay, turn over here. And he knew exactly where to go to apply what the word said about that particular subject in this person's life. And now the person's reading and hearing and seeing what God has to say about that particular area in their lives. And I was mesmerized. Wow, man, you know your Bible. You know what? We need to know our Bibles so well, because we are constantly taking it, not just reading it, but applying it to ourselves. This is one of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? I remember 20 years old reading that and thought, there is no way. There's not a way. But God said, by keeping it according to your word, with all your heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commands. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. I tell you, I hold on to this principle in this scripture, especially in my purity, because it works. God's way works. God's word is what we need to continue to look at and to apply. And then, you know what? We need to ask one another, well, man, how are you applying this to yourself? Here's what I'm doing. Hey, what are you doing? You know, when I read this scripture back here in Hebrews, I just think, wow, God is not ashamed to be called my God, for he has prepared a city for them. You know, as we bring our service to a close this morning, first off, I want to thank you for coming. And I encourage you, if you're visiting, take some time out this week. Ask the person that came with you, hey, let's study your word. Let's study the Bible. You know, I got questions about this, or I got questions about that, or I don't even know what questions to ask. You know, let's just read the Bible together. Take out 30 minutes of your time this week. Let's read the Bible together. Because you guess what? The struggles don't stop. The pain, the pressure, it's not going away because we're not in heaven yet. But it is so encouraging to understand He has prepared a city for us. And so with that, we're going to close out with a song that Desiree and Eden are going to sing. And thank you for coming. Thank you for worshiping with us. What you see is what you get. Amen.